Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Second Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Baalim. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also, and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him, and carried away a great multitude of them captives, and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah the king's son, and Azricam the governor of the house, and Elkanah that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive their brethren, 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria, and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up into heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. And certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, and Berechiah the son of Meshillemoth, and Jehizkiah, thank you, the son of Shallum, and Amasa, the son of Hadlai, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, Ye shall not bring the captives hither, for whereas ye have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass, for our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of the palm trees, to their brethren, and they returned to Samaria. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah, and had taken Bethshemesh and Ajalon and Gederoth and Shoko with the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzo and all the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tiglath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away the portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king, and of the princes, and gave it to the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and he said, Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him, and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem and in every several city of Judah. Made he high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and of all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, at the conclusion of the reading in the morning service, I said, this is a good chapter. At the conclusion of this chapter, I say, this chapter speaks of much evil. Much evil. There's all kinds of evil to talk about here in chapter 28. We'll be brief, but it is indeed important that we cover these things. So first of all, we have Ahaz being introduced as a wicked king. Verses 1 through 5 recommend us to him as a man who was wicked, who violated the first commandment. Right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he paid a high temporal price for his idolatry. Didn't he? Now, let's not be foolish. Let us remember this, that we will always pay a price for idolatry. Sometimes the price that we pay will be inscrutable to us in our outward estate. Ahaz committed idolatry, breaking the first commandment, and it cost him dearly in his outward estate. There are those who would break the first commandment, and it will not cost them dearly in their outward estate, but it will cost them their eternal life. That if we turn away from the Lord our God and worship another God, make no mistake, you will die in your sins and you will head off into an eternity of everlasting fire and separation from the comfortable presence of the Lord. How the Larger Catechism puts it, as good as any. So, the reason the Lord forbids idolatry to us is not because he wants to spoil our fun, but because he wants to save us from perishing eternally. Sometimes, due to our sins and the chastisement of the Lord upon us, we will suffer greatly, temporally, for our sins. And if the Lord is pleased, those sufferings will turn us away from our sins. But note here that it didn't do a thing for Ahaz. That he continued on in his wickedness, even though he suffered greatly, temporally speaking, for his idolatry. His country was ruined. Two kings came together, and one of them he might even call his brothers. Syria and Israel congealed, coalesced, formed an alliance, and came and slew all kinds of people. It says 120,000 soldiers fell. And 200,000 captives of women and children were taken. This is great wickedness. Keep in mind also that you who are in positions of authority in the family, in the church, in the state, it matters not, that when we who are in authority sin and do wickedly, we ill affect those under whose authority we ill affect those who are under our authority as well. That when Ahaz sinned, Israel paid a dear price. And so we are connected to one another, especially those of us who are in some kind of authority and submission structure. And so when we sin, we ill affect those who are around us. When kings have a bad day, people die. When pastors have a bad week, people are discouraged from the Christian faith. when elders have a bad session meeting, people's consciences are trod upon. When presidents and senators and U.S. representatives have a bad week, people's taxes go up, and other such temporal disasters. So let us remember then that we are connected to one another, that we all rise and fall together. We are a people in covenant with one another. All right, the second portion of the chapter then speaks of the prophet Oded, who rose up in Samaria and said, "What are you doing?" What a great man Oded was. The army is riding high. They have just had a victory, slaying 120,000 valiant men down south, bringing 200,000 captives home. It is a day for rejoicing, a day for celebration. And Oded meets them in the way and he says, "This is not a day for rejoicing. It is not a day for celebration. Rather, it is a day where repentance is in order, because the rage with which you have conquered your brother Judah has reached up to heaven and there is wrath prepared against you." And notice what the children of Israel did. Notice what the northern kingdom armies did. They repented. And they brought forth fruit meat for repentance. They did not just say, "Okay, we give up, you all go home." They clothed them. They cared for them. They conducted them, even those who were wounded on their own beasts. They conducted them to Jericho and released them whole to their brethren. So they repented and they verified their repentance, by bringing forth fruit meet for repentance. This is indeed an incalculable good to those of us who do repent, that we bring forth fruit meet for repentance. It makes repentance a hollow thing if we think that we can repent in a word. Those of us who are over us in the Lord, if we sin, and they prescribe for us a course of work to validate, to verify that repentance, do us good. They help us. This is exactly what John Baptist told the Pharisees when they came out to him. He said, "You sons of snakes, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." And he told them not to be complacent. People who refuse works meet for repentance do so out of complacency and presumption. So the people of Israel then did well in that they returned the captives whole to the city of the palm trees. All right, so then the chapter finishes out with Ahaz doing even more wickedly. So he has been defeated by Syria, and he has been defeated by Jerusalem, He's been defeated by Syria, Damascus, and he's also been defeated by the northern kingdom. Edom has also joined in the fight and had their day as well. Notice, if you remember, two kings ago, Edom was defeated. Now Edom has risen up again and seen the weakness in the southern kingdom because of their idolatry, and they have attacked, and the Lord has given them the victory that he might chastise his people. So what does Ahaz learn then from his chastisement? He's been finally released by Damascus. And so he goes back home, and what does he do? He says, "Well, you know, the gods of the Syrians, boy, they really protected them. So it must be that they're the strongest gods. I'll have to worship them." And so what has he done? He has completely misread providence. And brothers and sisters, this is why we use the Word of God as a sure guide to our morals and not reading providence. Reading providence cannot predict your morality. Only God speaking in His Word can indeed guide you in your morality. We will indeed misrepresent providence to get our own way, which is exactly what Ahaz did here in 2 Chronicles 28. Thus ends the reading. Let's stand then and call upon the Lord by the singing of psalms.